I'm going to be doing like a multi-weekly thing also with Sue and Kyle. I tried, like, I didn't want to say, like, I think I should be the one doing this with you guys, because like, it's very presumptuous given that I'm like a literal who to just insert myself among them. So I like tried doing some other stuff and we tried, but in the end, we wound up just having it be me and those two, and it wound up doing way better than everything else. And they were like, yeah, we should just keep this formula, man. Like, I understand. Yeah.
Podcast liquidity. You're like chat liquidity in the if they start to get too like.
Well, it was also really funny because there's like several comments on that video being like, Lucas is such a fucking awful host. Like, why he needs to let Sue talk more. And it's like, it's very clear. If you go and look at these people's channels, it's like they basically came there because they want Sue as their adoptive father to give them financial advice. And so like every second that I'm talking, yeah, they're just like sitting there like, there's no value add. There's no value add. But it's like that video has like 10 times more views than all of the ones of them just talking alone. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, if you guys want his pure distilled financial, you're going to have him on your podcast. Right. And I don't think that's going to happen because you have zero YouTube subscribers and you're just screaming. Right. So it's like, I don't know. It looks like you're my bitch, dude. It looks like you're gonna have to sit through my shitty tranny jokes. Yeah, it's awesome. Old, it's awesome. I'm gonna become like super aggro towards the audience too, because what are they gonna do, right? Like, where else are you gonna go if you wanna hear Suzu's market insights, right?
Hey, my ears. So you know what happened this week that I find to be absolutely fucking hilarious. This Mamani thing. Do you know the story?
I'm like roughly familiar with them as like an NFT project, but didn't they just release like a coin?
So I'll give you the full rundown because this shit is so funny to me. So for those who don't know Muggsy, he made Mamani. Now Muggsy is this like broke, incredibly racist, low-key retarded French dude, like, who never has any money, right? So when M'Lady comes out, he's like, I'm too poor to buy one, effectively. So he made his own M'Lady. He just, like, drew
one. And it was these, like, fucked up, like, deranged-looking, like, Microsoft Paint. What would happen if you had, like, a schizophrenic person draw it with their, like, non-dominant hand?
He drew it on his iPad, like, with his finger. Right, so he drew fucking Mamani's with his own version of M'Lady because he's like, I want one, but I'm not gonna buy it, right? So then P Tokes, who people know from shilling Geo Bowden, he was like, oh, I want one too, and so he's like, okay, I'll make you one. And then after Tokes had one, it was just like you would have to like, and people were like, oh, that's kind of cool, I want one too. Can you make it this character? So he made effectively an entire NFT project, but the problem was A, he's retarded, and B, like, he's also kind of like just like kind of just French. Like, you had to like chase him down for months to pay for him, right? Like, you just like, it's not like you would just be like a easy transaction.
He minted it on chain. These are like individual.
No.
Okay. So for those of you listening who aren't familiar with how NFTs work, typically what happens is you mint like a set of like 10,000 or 5,000 or something. And they're generated by an algorithm that assembles them from graphics assets that you have, right? So it's like like a make your own thing, except you're not making your own. They get randomly assembled, right? So what I'm hearing is this guy is so retarded that instead of figuring out how to just copy paste the algorithm that assembles assets, he just like drew individual pictures for people and then said, yes, like it's the same collection, bro.
yeah. So he hand drew an entire collection, like 200 of them, something like that. And he was like, "Oh, it's gonna be." He's like, "I'll pay later. I'll put it on chain. I'll come find you."
Wait.
Right?
He didn't even put it on chain yet. He just
no.
What the fuck? So this is like if a guy said, like, this is like, you have a totally conventional artist. Like, he's not even an NFT guy. There's no cryptocurrency involved, and he just drew pictures and then he said, these are NFTs. And they're not NFTs. There's no token attached. There's nothing. There's nothing blocked. It's literally just he drew people pictures and then they said, okay.
He's like, I'm gonna put it on chain later, right? And then like, he's like, when I put it on chain, I'll ask for the pay. So what ended up happening is, in reality, is he made a little spreadsheet of the people who owed him money. So anytime he got broke, he'd come hit you up in the DMs like, I need my 0.3 ETH right now. You gotta pay for that shit right now. So he made like money off of it in ETH, but it's just like there's no chain. So then, all right. So this is 2022. It's been 2 years of them being like, put it on chain. And he just is like, no, maybe later. So like, even like the Rad Bros, like that whole NFT project, that was them being like, yo, Muggsy, put fucking Mamani on chain, or we're gonna make our own version of Mamani. So Rad Bros is a Mamani fucking derivative.
Holy shit. That's okay.
Another lore story. So then basically, this weekend at NFT New York City, a few people were just like talking like, bro, Muggsy's a fucking idiot. Let's just launch a coin. And then we'll airdrop it to people who have a Mamani, because we have a list. So it's a coin. They launched it on Pump Fund, and now it has like 40 mil, 20, 30 mil market cap. And Bulma shilled it. And basically, like, anyone who had a Mamani who went through that grueling process of getting him to fucking make one, they got airdropped like a million tokens. But it's just the funniest. To make it icing on the cake, because again, he's a fucking retard. They made the coin. I didn't make it. They made the coin. And they gave him a big like founder's allocation. He G'd that shit at like 250k market cap for like $1,000.
And so then it went up like 300x after he.
So they gave him a second dev founder, like a founder allocation after he G'd the fucking
first
one.
Oh my God.
So it is. I'm like, I just think it's the funniest thing ever of like one of the most successful fucking airdrops. The cycle is a NFT that's not even on chain because the fucking founder is too retarded. I think like the lore there is just too good.
It is really funny to watch these people who like they do basically everything they can to just like fuck up long-term holds, right? And it's like I kind of understand it, because like there was a period where, you know, back when I got fucking rinsed by Luna, I like my only money on chain was like the RB airdrop. Like the idea of getting an airdrop and holding it to me and just not
It's tough.
Like, that's insane. Like, who the fuck would do that, right? And now it's like, I'm realizing it was purely just a financial stability thing, right? Like, now that I'm feeling pretty comfy, like, I got the EtherFi airdrop, I got the Athena airdrop, I got the Wormhole airdrop, and, like, I haven't even, like, it's I claimed that shit, airdrop. Like, 5 days late, I haven't even checked the price, it's just sitting there, right? And, like,
it's so much easier to hold when you actually have money, like, you're not, like, stressed about everything.
Yeah. And it's funny because it now allows me to do this like moral grandstanding where it's like, wow, like they whitelisted your collection out of the good of your heart and you dumped right when they gave it to you. Like you're an evil dumping bandit, right? But it's like I'm not moralistic or anything. I just it's now a small enough percentage of my net worth. I just don't give a shit.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very funny. And I also just think I just like the idea of like someone just like fumbling their way into like making a NFT for like every influencer accidentally. I just think that's just like,
yeah,
because there was no grand plan. It was just if I like you, I'll make you one. If I don't like you, fuck you. I don't care.
I think he asked to make me one. And I said like no, because I was like, this was post Luna. I was like, dude, like I have no fucking money. Like I literally have like 2,300 or 30. He was like, you know, when the Barrett chain seed round was going, I was offered to get in with that, as were you, I think. And I refused because I literally had like under 4K on chain. Like I was fucking rinsed, man. I was done.
Yeah, I definitely had nothing on. I had no money back then. I still don't. I mean, I have some money now, which is nice. This airdrop helped. A few other things are going my way now that like it's very much a momentum thing. Like once one thing goes well, now you're like, okay, now I can make.
Like it really seems that there's a certain point where like your floor, after having just been in the ecosystem enough, like your floor of all of this raises to such a point that you can't quite get rinsed out, right? Like even though I went full retard with Luna, I blew everything up, right? I still got whitelisted for the Small Brains NFT project. God, this is so fucking funny, actually. I don't know if I've ever told the story of how I like got whitelisted for the Small Brains NFT project, but I whitelisted like multiple wallets on it. It was that It was like an Arbitrum, like monkey picture thing where like the, you got IQ and your monkey's brain got bigger over time. And it was like a story thing. And the way that I whitelisted multiple wallets for it was like they had a whitelist and then they figured out it got sibbled. So they went in their Discord and they had multiple people or they had people like submit hand pictures as like proofs of authenticity. Uh-huh. So I spent like 3 hours like fucking up my hand and like I lifted. So I got my veins pumped up and then I like dug around in like a bunch of dirt and got it under my nails. And then they like put my hand in the freezer and I like changed watches so that my veins would go away and I'd have a different watch on. And then I like, and then clipped my nail. Like I did all these things to make like different fake hand pictures. It was so, so silly. And
you gotta be, that's you're in the trenches.
Yeah, yeah. I know, like all of this was like I didn't think that there was gonna be like a big payout for this for the airdrops. I was doing it purely because like I was in a group chat of people and we were like, wouldn't it be really funny to like spend your entire day sibling this airdrop for like $7? And I was like, yeah, fuck, I think it would. So I was like, it was like, this is good content. And then I got the wallets and it wound up like at the top, every one of the wallets was worth like $60K that I got the airdrop on, or the whitelist. And and there was one that had a rare monkey NFT that was like 250 or 350K or something, right? So I sold all of them except that rare monkey into Luna. And then Luna exploded, of course. So it just all went to fucking zero. But I had that one monkey NFT. I had that one rare one. And I still fucking have it. I still have it. I've held it from like the price of a house to like the price of a cheeseburger. And but the only reason I got the Arbitrum airdrop, which is the thing that basically like saved my ass on chain, right? Like all my money came from the money that I had in the Arbitrum airdrop was from because I used those monkey NFTs and I like staked and unstaked and claimed and did all the like small brains NFT like video game stuff so much and had such big volume because again, like even though I sold all of it and it went to zero because I put it into Luna, it still was volume, right? Which counted for the Arbitrum airdrop. So I got pretty good airdrops on all the wallets that I did there. And that saved my ass. I still have the monkey NFT. I guess it's worth like a grand or something now, maybe. I don't know. But
more than zero.
My thought basically is like, I've been holding it this long. I don't think it makes any sense to sell it now, right? Like, I don't know if they're going to ever, like, I don't think it's ever going back to its all-time high, right? But like, it seems like when we have an NFT bubble is probably when it would make sense to get rid of it. Or maybe I'll just hold it forever because it's like fucking funny at this point, right? But that thing like taught me the other lesson too, which is that like you don't ever want a significant portion of your NFT or of your like on-chain liquidity to be tied up in like one thing, right? Because there was a period in there where like literally all of my money on-chain was in that one fucking monkey picture. And like that sucks because you can't sell half of a monkey picture, right? You're either all in or all out. And the thing, like rare NFTs fluctuate by like hundreds of thousands of dollars a day. So you're just sitting and not only that, but the underlying assets fluctuate by even more because it wasn't like Ethereum. It was like the token was called like Magic or something. So it was just pulling these massive swings on what was basically like 90% of my net worth at the time. And I was like, I'm feeling very uncomfy right now. And it made me not sell just because there was no way to like sell or like take a little bit of profits. Right. So I wound up just like shooting myself in the dick horribly. I did also, and this is the other nice thing. I blew my shit up in Luna, but Luna 2 has Astroport, right? And do you know what Astroport did? They airdropped people who blew their assholes out in Luna 1. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So it's like a funny thing. You might like embarrassingly destroy every piece of financial success you've ever built up in one day. But somebody on chain will recognize that as like a virtue or something. And they will reward you with a consolation prize to help you run it back again.
I do appreciate that. There's been quite a few consolation prizes that have saved my ass as well. I mean, honestly, in this Mamani thing, I mean, that's kind of a consolation prize. I think is so funny.
You have one of those, right? So did they airdrop? How much was the airdrop?
1 million tokens. At peak, it was like 50K.
For real? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a ridiculous one. I mean, it can still get run up now. Like, if it keeps, I haven't sold it yet. I just kind of have it. It's like 25K right now, but that's kind of, it's still above.
Like, that's very good. Like, a 50K airdrop is not.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. That's not unsubstantial. No.
True.
So that's very, I'm pretty happy about that one. And because otherwise I would have missed it. Because I was told when it was made, and I was at like an after party for NFT New York City, and then I got home and fell asleep, and then it was like 15 million market cap when I got home. I was like, oh well, whoops, missed that. Good thing I bought one of these. But yeah, no, just very funny. This whole shit is the crazy lunacy of the whole market's like starting. Like, I can already, like, that friend tech airdrop's probably gonna be stupid. I already see the stupidity.
Airdrops have been insane so far, man. Like, I'm not a guy who like does a ton of stuff on chain. I'm like notorious for sitting there, like neurotically worrying about like doing anything at all. And so the fact that I've gotten this many, you know, like the wormhole airdrop was nuts, dude. I got a.
Oh, I don't think I got any of that. I never even checked.
I got a very decent wormhole airdrop, and I didn't even remember using this shit. I got a great EtherFi airdrop. It would have been better, but it's like, I got three 5-figure airdrops in the last like week or some shit. And I don't do shit on chain. Like, I don't know. And the EtherFi airdrop would have been so much bigger if I wasn't like a huge retard who, did you see my post about how I like staked all of my EtherFi Ethereum in Pendle? No. So there were a couple options, basically. Like, I could either hold all of the EtherFi stuff myself and get like 1x point rewards, or I could do some sort of like weird, I don't know. It was like a lossless LP thing where you would get, you would sacrifice the yield that you would have gotten on restaked liquid Ether. So it would be like, you'd sacrifice your like 25% APR on the ETH that you put in. But you would get double the EtherFi points, and you would get double the Eigenlayer points, I believe. And the alternative was you put it in there and you go for the 25% APR, and they like take half of Ether or half of your amount of points, right? So I did something really funny, and I was like, well, I want to hedge my bets. I'll take the points, but I also want to get the APR, right? Because cold hard ETH is a valuable asset, and of course. What happens is the yield, despite displaying like 25% at the time of my deposit, what happens with any sort of staked ETH is like when you have a large number of people who want to unstake, the price on like, the price basically of the staked ether versus the underlying liquid ether goes very discount premium, right? So the staked stuff starts trading at a big discount. And that hit me with some impermanent loss, which actually somehow sent my yield to zero. And then it started sending it negative. So I'm now like 5K in the hole negative on impermanent loss on an LP that I'm doing between ETH and staked ETH. So I essentially paid them. I paid Pendle 5K to take half of my EtherFi points and half of my Eigenlayer points. And the Eigenlayer points that they took from me would have been worth like 30K. Sorry, the EtherFi points that they took from me would have been worth like 30K. The Eigenlayer points are probably going to be worth more, right? So it's like I still got that much because they only took half, but it's like, whoops. Oh, well.
Yeah. It's okay. There's more. There's going to be more bullshit airdrops to come. Grass is still coming. Frentech's coming. A Tensor just dropped. I have to see what. I just remembered last night that there's a Tensor drop. I have to check.
I didn't do anything on Tensor. Everyone told me to farm Tensor. I kept.
I wasn't even farming Tensor, but I bought. I think because of the Saga phone, I bought and sold shit. I think I might be eligible. We'll find out in a second because everything is. I've done everything through Tensor on.
Oh yeah, that's a good call.
Nothing's that expensive though because these are shitty ass NFTs. But we'll see if I'm eligible.
You probably made it.
Hopefully. I don't know what it's worth, but more than zero. More than zero is what we're going for.
It's crazy. I don't even like know how to price in airdrops mentally. Like, I just Like, I'm not adding it into my portfolio when I think about them. Like, it's just either this goes to 8 billion or it goes to zero, it seems, which seems like a dumb mentality. Like, I should probably be, because, you know, the thing with airdrops is, like, if you trade the fractal of, like, selling like 18 hours after claim opens and then buying again like a week later and then selling like a year later, you usually do very well. Like, if you just do that every time.
Yeah. But then there's the opportunity cost. Like, for a lot of these airdrops, I feel like I think about if it's actually worth the year wait on them. And 90% of the time, I'm just like, I'm selling this shit.
Yeah, right now. I think the Athena airdrop is going to really, really, it might go super hard here. Like, I mean, we talked a little bit about this with Sue. He probably has like a better technical rundown on what Athena is. You get Athena, right? Basically, in terms of,
I have no idea. I never got the Athena airdrop.
Okay, so Athena is basically like, they have a 1x spot position in Ethereum, right? And then they are hedging that 1x position with a 1x short in, like a 1x short on Ethereum, right? So basically, they're delta neutral Ethereum, but the Ethereum that they have is staking. So they're making like 4% yield on that. And then they're making like some larger percent on the short, because funding rates are high right now. So shorting just yields you stuff. And then they are using that to back a stable coin, or they're using their ether and the short position as collateral to back a stable coin. And then the stable coin, if you stake it, you can get the yield that they're generating, or you can get portions of the yield that they're generating. They also have an insurance fund that they are skimming from some of the yield, so that like if the yield rate inverts and because, you know, like if funding goes negative for a while on Ethereum, then suddenly that's going to flip the yield negative on USDE, and the people staking will actually be losing money, so everyone's going to sell out of it. Funding probably won't flip negative for a long time, right? So they want to have like a chest to prevent short little periods where the funding goes negative on the market. This is one of those things where like you hear about it and it's like it's obviously going to blow up at some point.
Absolutely, 100%. When we get to towards the top of the everything's just
right, but that's the thing is the way that it's going to go to zero. Basically, everybody's thesis at least is that it's not going to go to zero until the rest of the market is already zero. So, and everybody's basically fine going all in Athena right now, because they're saying, well, yeah, like, I mean, the thing is, if this breaks, I'm going to have bigger fucking problems than Athena going to zero, right? Like, everything is going to be shitting the bed at that point. And I think it's pretty much right, because the way that it fails is going to be the yield rate inverting for a long enough period of time. They run the treasury curve, or they run the insurance fund dry. And
at that point, it's already the full bear market.
Right. And you're also going to have like, there's going to be a little bit of a latency, because when they want to unwind their position, it's going to require them to sell the ether that they have. They can't sell the ether that they have directly because it's staked. So they're going to have to wait in the staking and unstaking queue for like 7 to 14 days. So there's going to be that latency that's going to make things weird.
But then at the same time, though, once the unstaking happens, that short position on Ethereum could offset.
Right. There's like, that's why they have this this insurance fund, because there's just some strange hysteresis and wiggle room in there where you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. And the other thing that Athena is doing is they're issuing the Athena shards, right? Which are basically like, you know how when a protocol issues a token, the token is valued somewhat based on the TVL of the protocol. Yeah. And because Athena is a stable coin that basically just has people depositing like $2+ billion to go delta neutral and issue a stable coin based on Athena, they have like a high TVL, right? So this token that they're issuing has a fairly high valuation. And it makes sense to everybody that it would have an even higher valuation, because of the way that everybody values. So it's like, even though the token isn't necessarily like actually backed by the treasury in any meaningful way, Just the fact that the treasury exists gives people confidence that the token will go up. So it's like, it's a pretty good Ponzi, all things considered.
I've heard worse.
The only thing that's a little bizarre is like, there's nothing that's stopping anyone from doing this, right? Like, I suggested another team that has a pretty substantial Solana treasury, like, just go do this. Like, go do this yourself, right? Like,
this is not much different than, like, I, unironically, like, when I was working for this other company that won't be named, we made a trading strategy that was basically this thing, like, for, like, this, like, effectively, like, a mutual fund for crypto. It was, like, it was on Luna, so Luna blew up, but, like, it was effectively this strategy. This is when I learned that, like, lending, like, borrowing against an asset is shorting, and stuff like that. Like, we did a delta neutral position like this effectively, and then we used what was that thing that gave 20% anchor on Luna? They gave like 20%, and that was like same exact thing.
I made some tweet that was like on a,
and Prism was the stakes underlying yield. It was effectively the same exact idea.
Yeah. I made a tweet that said like, wow, it's fucking awesome that we can all go and sell the exact top and then just ship all of our earnings straight into USDE for 30% APR to live off of for the rest of our lives risk-free. And like 100 people bookmarked it or something. And I was like, guys, like, this is not going to happen. That was not financial advice. Yeah, that was a big fucking joke, man. When if you sell a top and you try and ship this into USDE, you are going to be in for a
very, very sad
yeah.
day.
It's like imagine but doing everything perfectly, and then like the final step, like the exit step, is when you shit the bed.
What's some USDC's APR? Because if you make a fat enough bag, that's all you need. Isn't it like 7 or 14?
It depends. It's always kind of fluctuating, and there's difference between USDC and USDT. And frankly, like, I've become such an enormous Tether bull. Like, I think that Tether is the greatest asset that we have on chain. I think it's better than Bitcoin. I think Tether is going to outlast all of us, the government. It's going to be around for like millennia and generations. And like my one true boomer bet is on Tether, which is like unfortunate because
does Tether give you any APR?
I mean, there's always ways to make APR, right? Like, if you were going to have, like, you can, like, LP in, like, a three pool with, like, USDC or Tether.
USDC, though.
Yeah.
Just holding USDC gives you the APR. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as close as, like, any of the yield farms that are dealing with, like, the volume and stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, but in the bear market, I don't have to deal with any yield farm explosion. I just want to, like, hold an asset and get the fucking 7% hold a day.
Well, they also crank that down in the bear market. That's the thing. Is like
that's true.
Like right, like when all of this is going, like the yield rates go up because volume goes up, and they need people. Like it's exponentially rarer to find like a high portion of cryptocurrency users who are willing to be allocated to stable coins as the other coins go straight up. Right.
Well, you know the thing is though. No, I mean like last bear market, USDC had a pretty high APR because everyone was doing all their transactions in USDC because they didn't trust the other assets from going down. Like I remember like the 7% or whatever was bear market APR.
Huh.
I think APR for USDC goes up because everyone is untrustworthy.
I don't know.
They lack trust in.
I didn't look too much at it because I was too fucking poor. I'm now getting at the point where I'm looking at shit like where can I just fucking farm yield? Like that's like I'm like, oh God, like I don't know if I want to be risking that much, bro. Let's just farm some yield.
You're on around boomer shit. We haven't even started yet.
I know it's really bad. It's dumb because I would have been so much more up if I had just like bought like a bajillion NFTs and like quadrupled it. But it's like it's really fucking cozy to know that I'm getting like 60% or 50% APR on Ethereum or something like that, right? Like that's actually like I can deal with that.
Oh yeah, it's not bad at all. I mean, honestly, I'm probably gonna. I mean, not yet, but I will start to get to the yield farming and doing nothing else schmode eventually. Speaking of doing nothing else, Retardio NFT, my fucking, I is going to go to 200 soul floor, which is.
Wait, are you fucking serious?
It's not there right now, but it's I genuinely believe it. It was a one soul mint. It's already at 14 soul floor.
Are you serious?
So, now they're happy. But no, listen, I don't look at the group chat. I just know every Solana NFT is good dog shit. And this is the only one that's not entirely dog shit. Like, I actually like look at this and go, oh, I like this one. I think
it literally never occurred to me once to actually look at the NFT. That's so funny. I was just if the NFT is related, but it, like, that doesn't even matter. I shouldn't have done that. Like, why would the NFT and the token price action be tied? They never are.
Yeah, they never are. The other thing is, like, I looked at other things that are up on Solana that, like they have, like, 130 soul floor, and it's, like, the ugliest bullshit that, like, has no community. I'm like, oh, this is fucking easy send. This is easily going to something stupid. Solana floors get, because everyone has so much Solana from just, like, shitcoining, and it was worth, like, $7 only, like, 6 months ago. Or
whatever. Yeah, like a year or whatever.
They don't treat it like it's real money. So it goes to like 200 soul floor, like it's nothing.
True.
I'm keeping my, this is my, not my maker play, it's not my maker play because I should have went even harder into it, but I'm pretty stoked.
I should have got a few actually. I have zero Solana NFTs, I don't think. I don't think I've like touched it, which like, it makes no sense also because NFTs are so much nicer to deal with on Solana than basically every other chain.
Oh yeah, way easier. It's the UI, yeah, like absolutely 100% easier. You don't have to deal with any of the fucking the fees for buying and selling them, which is of course like the biggest issue with like NFT trading on ETH. And also like the Tensor, like all their NFT platforms on Solana are actually like pretty like well laid out. Like they're better than Blur and OpenSea. Sniper XYZ and Tensor and all that. I like their UIs 10 times.
Really? I will say Blur is a little bit like, Blur is like a good platform, good idea overall, but like, it's generally like confusing. If I were to show Blur to like an average normie person and say, this is where you buy NFTs, they would just say like, send it all to zero. Fuck this, man. I don't give a shit about any of this.
Blur's UI implies that you are trading it like a coin. And like that's cool and all, but even I trade them, but I want to see what the NFT looks like. I want to see the trades. I want to like be able to like, it's very hard to like look through the collection. It's just very
right,
much
and
like,
they make
dumb.
Them all like ten by 10 pixel images, so you're trying to look at what the differences between the collection are, and you're like, you have to like enlarge everything one by one. It's very, and I'm sure there's some UI change you can make to like fix all this. And somebody's going to respond to us saying like, oh, like you're an idiot. You just don't, you haven't made your own custom Blur setup.
Yeah, it's but like, why do I have to do all that? Why
yeah, just make that, the default, you know? Make the default setting something that's usable by like total retard normies, because that's me and that's what I'm going to be using it like.
Blur is clearly designed for people who are trading the floor of NFTs for a flip. Right, it's not like you're trying to like look through the collection and find like small alpha and this and that. Like it's clearly, you can tell from the design what it was made for, and I don't like that. It's a little nihilistic, you know, and you have to play into people's dreams and idealism with NFTs.
See, they called this Retardio Cousins, which sucks because I actually like the Cousins meme. Like I've been doing you know, because the Mog guys did the Cousins shit, and the Mog guys, by the way, are our podcast sponsor.
Us.
One of our podcast sponsors.
Let's
Holy
go.
Fuck, we are flying.
Fuck
one
yeah.
of our podcast sponsors outside of the Oxfun Exchange.
Sponsored by Mog.
Advised by Suzu, Kyle Davies, and Lucas Computer. Notorious Secret Third Arrow. Master of sending it to zero.
You are the third arrow.
I am the third arrow. You were all wondering who really sent it to zero. You're blaming the wrong man.
Fuck yeah. We got Mog. I used to have Mog glasses, but they broke. I stepped on them when I was drunk. Sorry. But Mog, the current podcast sponsor, check them out. Buy the coin.
I don't know if we're allowed to say buy the coin.
Oh, you're not
I don't know,
that?
But I'm.
Know.
You sh-
well,
that wasn't
well, we
financial advice,
thing.
And he didn't say
that wasn't financial
don't
advice,
buy
right.
it. Well,
I didn't say that. I don't know how this works.
If it speaks to your heart, you may consider making some amount of transaction, maybe. I don't actually even know if that's allowed, so
but
don't do
is,
that either.
We have to click the promoted. This is promoted content box, so I don't know if that saves us.
So maybe. What you should all do is you should all post about how much you love Mog and Mogging. And you should just totally disregard any sort of financial instrument related to anything that we say or do until we review several SEC regulations more carefully.
Whatever you, yeah. What you guys should do is go under the under every single NFT pro, or sorry, crypto project, and just post the cat with the mod glasses. And be like, ha, 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 ha.
No, do the the joy cat laughing crying emoji, and then the finger pointing emoji. Yeah. That's the
exactly.
It is fun. Like, yeah, it's very fun to just go and stunt on people in crypto, right? Like, I don't know about you, but the longer that I'm in this industry, and the more that I'm exposed to like the greed and stupidity of the average cryptocurrency insect consumer, the more that it makes me, one, value the people who are not that way, and two, want to crush these people, right? Like, I noticed this from a lot of like longtime founders too, where like they have like a demographic that they like, but when you ask them about their strategy, a lot of it involves like, fuck the consumer, man. Like, fuck you. Fuck them, dude. Just absolutely fuck them.
Yeah, dude. But no, we don't, the MOG doesn't fuck the consumer. MOG loves the consumer. We hate everyone
else.
Well,
I mean, what they do that's funny is like if people sell or they cheat stuff early, they like make fun of them. They like publicly post like their wallet transaction and say like, you would have this much fucking money now if you didn't dump it on day three. Like, you know, MK Ultra, like they love shitting on him because his initial MOG buy would be worth more than the entire LP right now if he still had That's it. So like funny. It would literally be like $8 million.
You know what's crazy too, though? Because he had a fat fucking bag. Like, he had a, like, at the time of his wedding, it was so fat, and everyone was like, this might be a very unsound financial decision, but.
And it was actually the most sound thing that he's ever done in his life. Like, and that's the weird thing with MOG too, is like, it appears to be designed to get out people who can't diamond the hand in the way that, like, we could flash the chart up on the screen or something, but
we both don't diamond hand, we didn't diamond hand.
Yeah, no, we both got our asses blown out by this coin. Like, I'm not like shitting on other people as if I'm better here. Like, I did the same thing, but what MOG did basically was, it consolidated for like 18 months. Like, it went up and down between these two levels for like 18 months. And every time it would go to the top, everyone would be like, oh, it's really going to break out. It's really going to do it. And it didn't do it. And then it would go down again. And then it would go down like 60%, and then it would go up like 3X. Then it would go down 60%, and then it would go up like 3X. And it just kept doing this over and over for like 18 months. And then one time it gets to this point where it just like, does like a god candle space laser green arrow straight up, and it just went up like fucking 50x in like one day, right? So it was like it's just a step function coin. It doesn't just go up smoothly. It fucks around edging for like a year, and then it just blasts off one enormous ejaculation that like 500x's its market cap and gets like 18 news campaigns written about it. It's very funny.
So what we're saying is, it's time, we're edging. We're deep in the edge right now, and the ejaculation's coming.
Yeah, ideally. I think we're gonna have to check. We're gonna have to check with the SEC about that one too. But all of this is quite dubiously worded. But that would be really funny. Like, what if there's a section in the SEC's regulatory guidelines that it says, oh yeah, like, well, you're not allowed to give financial advice, but if you convert the entire thing into a sexual euphemism, you're allowed to say whatever you want. Like, that would be just great. Something tells me it doesn't exist, but it would be beautiful if it did. And oh, recently, did you see like the MOG thing where, there was some like rave where some guy put on like a marshmallow helmet or something, and then MOG quote tweeted it pretending like they hired MOG or they hired Marshmallow to come out to some rave. And then Marshmallow was like, oh, like, I this is not me. Come on, guys. What do you think, man? I'm not doing this crypto promotion stuff. And I went and commented on it and said something like, wow, like, is there no floor that these crypto scumbags won't stick to in the promotion of their disgusting, fraudulent scam assets? and did like a bunch of clown emojis or something like that. But then Marshmallow kept replying and kept quote tweeting it and saying like, this totally isn't me. These guys are like disgusting and evil. And like, I'm starting to wonder if like he isn't friends with them, because like you simply don't quote tweet somebody's project this many times unless you're like trying to promote it, right? It's like maybe the first two, yeah, you're just genuinely angry, but it's like, dude, he's been going for like 4 days quote tweeting Mog, man.
It's possible that he like, is. I mean, it could have actually just been him.
That would be funny if the whole thing was just like a PSYOP promotion or something like that.
I mean, surprisingly, a lot of people seem to know DJs. Like the last couple of events I went to, like random ass, like pretty big names are showing up because like just someone randomly.
Yeah. And the Mog guys definitely are in that sort of like, you know, disgusting streetwear, freakish normie techno DJ scene. Like I could see that happening. So maybe, but
it's quite possible. Yeah. It's
well, and the other thing is that like, there's a lot of influencers who do this really funny thing where like, you know, Andrew Tate does this all the time. Andrew Tate does this all the fucking time. Where he's like, yeah, like crypto users are like disgusting scumbag insects. I would never involve myself in these financial Ponzi schemes. Like
now buy my
like,
coin.
Yeah, and then he like specifically will say like the, and then he like insert name of ticker coin. Like this disgust, like just look at this name. And like, of course the thing goes up like 200X, right? So it's like, you know that the dude fucking loaded up before the tweet and he's dumping into the green candle, right? So influencers broadly are starting to do this. I would be very unsurprised if, you know, like a Marshmallow or whoever said, oh yeah, before I like quote tweet this guy, I'm going to drop a few bands into this shit and rip out, I don't know, like 20-30K and just have a fun night with the prosties or something like that.
You just run it up.
Turbo. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would support that.
It's funny. Like it's like, I just always think that the stupid, like disingenuous reverse shills are the funniest concept because, it's just like a funny level of like, wow, you're such a bitch, dude. Like you could just like do it normally, but like you're so scared of your audience, you have to do this gay bitch version of like a perfectly normal thing.
I feel like the reverse shill works better. I feel like the reverse shill works better though, for a lot of times.
The reverse shill is more fun, if you're doing it like tongue in cheek, but if you're like actually, you know, if you're like actually saying like, oh, I hate crypto, and you're doing it for like 3 years straight while like interacting with the people, it gets like stale and gay to me, I guess. I don't know.
Sorry, I got cold.
You had to put on a hoodie or a...
Yeah, I'm like, I'm dealing with the post-conference strain of whatever the fuck. I'm not sick.
Yeah,
I'm
it's funny. Like you don't technically get sick a lot of the time, although a lot of times you do just get sick. But like your immune system is strained by just all of the disgusting people running around, right? Like you've hit your body's microbiome limit. It can no longer reject the hostile invader bacteria.
And then I just like pass out. Like I spend like the last, like I literally have just been sleeping for days. I like cannot stay awake. If I stop moving or stop doing something, I like,
that's really funny. I go into some sort of like postpartum depression because I can't like talk to people anymore. Like I had just a prodigious run of calls for the last 2 or 3 days where it was just like infinite calls, infinite, unending, like one meeting to another. And I finally finished my last one at some point, and I just felt so bad. I was like, I'm alone. Nobody will ever love me. Like I need someone to talk to. He was like, and then I went to like group chats and I'm like, it's not the same. Like I need someone to talk to. Right. Yeah. So I like went outside and I like, but then it's like, you know, I go around and I talk to people around town and it's like, you're fine, I guess, but it's not the people I'm working with are really like fun, smart, high tier people at this point. And they're not being replaced by like random guys that I talk to that I know from around town, frankly. Like it's just not happening.
You need higher stimulus. Higher stimulus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, yeah, I need the exact opposite. I need like not see anyone for like a week right now. Like my body is just like, just go to sleep. Don't talk to anyone. Get back to homeostasis and we'll be good to go. But listen, all the hours I put in these parties and after parties are paying off. The connections have been kindled. I've kindled the connections. The many positive things will come of it. And that's how these conferences go.
Positive for the podcast, he means. He's not talking about his personal. He's not selfishly talking about his personal future or financial success here. He's referring exclusively to the success of the Verse and Lucas podcast.
Really all of the above, to be honest.
I mean, they are all kind of one and the same. That's the fun thing, is everything that you do and everything that those who you are closely connected to do gets lumped into one sort of grand ball ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, we are soulbound. Whenever I go out in public, everyone asks about you too. There's no escape.
Yeah. It's good.
There's no escape from that.
I may actually have something to talk to you about immediately after this, when we finish recording and nobody can hear us again. Secret details to talk to that the podcast listeners. Wouldn't it be funny if I even though I'm pretty sure this would actually not be allowed, but wouldn't it be funny if I put the secret things that we say off camera on the Patreon?
You're the one who makes them secret. No, absolutely not. You're the one who makes them
secret. That's true. But it would be funny, right?
Most of the secrets are your secrets.
I put a shit ton of stuff on the Patreon recently, too, actually.
I did, actually. People mentioned it. They were like, I know you, because we didn't post an episode, because I was like, whatever. But some people who were listening to Patreon were like, I like the convo with Homeboy.
That's good, because I actually have another like 8 hours of stuff that I'm about to put on there with that dude.
Yeah, putting more on there. People like that stuff, especially when we're.
Yeah, well, it's another one of those things where it's like, I really do feel like I should just record all the phone calls I have, because everyone I'm working with is interesting enough that it's all a podcast at this point. Like, my life has become a podcast. It's very fun.
It's all about content. I wish I could have recorded some of the shit I was NFT New York City, but.
Dude, this is literally why I got the fucking infinite memory on my phone, right? Like,